I saw a bright flash of white light just now. Nobody's freaking out. I'm not dead. Okay. All right. Well, what are we doing? Open your Bibles to Matthew 14 to start with. We're going to be flipping around a little bit today, but we're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 14. So as you're turning there, I want to get a little bit of audience participation this morning. I heard an awe. Okay, a little bit of audience participation. You're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. All right, so if I were to ask that everybody here, if I were to ask you, is prayer important? How many would say yes? Show of hands. Okay, now how many would say no? Oh, really? Okay, I see how we're going to play this today. Okay, so pretty much everybody in here, there were those who did not raise your hand at all, and don't think I didn't see that. I did see it. We're going to talk later. So yes, the majority of us in here, if somebody were to ask us, do you think that prayer is important? Then we'd say yes, absolutely, prayer is important. If we were asked, does prayer make a difference? Does it make a difference in your life? Does it make a difference in your walk? Does it make a difference to you? Would you say yes? How many would say yes, prayer makes a difference? Okay, absolutely. That's great. I'm glad we're all on the same page here. Now, what if I were to tell you that a survey was taken? This is a Barna research survey. They're a company that does studies and statistics for all kinds of things. And one of the surveys they did was, how often do Christians pray? Now, how many of you would be surprised if I said the average Christian, outside of prayers for like blessings for a meal or something like that, how many of you would be surprised to learn that the average Christian spends approximately 1 minute per day in prayer? Anybody surprised by that? I was surprised. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I was surprised by that. Now, they went a little bit further as well in this study, and they asked pastors, who thinks they know how much time the average pastor spends in prayer per day? Who would say it's at least an hour? I want to do. Who would say it's at least an hour? Show of hands. At least 1 hour a day in prayer, at least. Okay? That's a good number of people. How many would say it's at least 30 minutes? At least 30 minutes. Who says it would be less than 30 minutes? Oh. You guys saw the notes already, didn't you? Would it surprise you to learn the average pastor spends 5 minutes a day in prayer? The average pastor spends 5 minutes a day in prayer. Now, here's what I kind of want to like point out here for just a moment. So a lot of us were surprised that the average Christian only spends a minute per day in prayer, but the response was so much greater when I said the average pastor only spends 5 minutes per day in prayer. And here's what I want to point out here is people assume that pastors are so much more spiritual than the average Christian. We assume that, don't we? And it's true that pastors have responsibilities. They have a calling on their life. They have a responsibility to lead. They have a responsibility to equip people for the work of the ministry. That's our calling. That's our responsibility. But when we're talking about prayer, what is going on today? Getting back on track now. When we're talking about prayer, there really should be no distinction on if you're a pastor, you should be praying more than if you're not a pastor. There shouldn't be. Because we all agree prayer is important. We all agree prayer is significant. We all agree that prayer makes a difference in our life. Yet, the average amount of time that we spend in prayer is less than 5 minutes a day. Now, this is a difficult thing to kind of discuss, because if you were to go through Scripture, I promise, I've looked, I've checked, it's not there. There's nothing in Scripture that you can point to that says, Jesus tells us that if we're going to be his followers, we need to pray for this amount of time every day. It's not there. But what is there is the example that Jesus gives us of prayer. How often do we see Christ going to the Father in prayer? We see it over and over and over and over again. You see, one of the problems that I think that we have with prayer is the average Christian does not understand the importance or the significance of prayer. We don't understand why we're supposed to do it. We don't know why it's such a big deal. We know that we should, we know that we're supposed to, but we don't know why it's such a big deal. And so when we pray, we do it half-heartedly. We do it as an afterthought. We do it as a chore. We do it as something that we're expected to do, but it's not something that we really look forward to actually doing. It's something that eats into our time of being able to do something else. That's how we view prayer. That's how we treat it. Even if we wouldn't necessarily say it, that is how we treat it. So I think that we need to understand, as followers of Christ, why do we pray? What's the importance, the significance of praying? And we're going to start by looking at Matthew 14. So look over at Matthew 14. I'm going to start in verse 23. Actually, I'm only going to read verse 23. It says, "And after he had dismissed the crowds," he being Jesus, "he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." Now, this is actually coming on the heels of one of the most famous stories in all of Scripture. This is coming on the heels of Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000, where he is preaching and he's teaching all day, and at the end of the day, everybody's there, everybody's hungry, there's nothing that they can do, and the only thing they have is what? They have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's not even a good sandwich. And yet, Jesus is able to feed all 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and they have a bunch left over. That's what has just happened. That has just been done. Jesus has just performed one of the most well-known miracles in all of Scripture. And what does he do after that? The crowds are dismissed, and he goes to pray. Goes to be by himself to spend time in prayer. Now, the question that we have to ask is why? Why does Jesus go to pray after this? And the reason I say it like that is, why does Jesus go to pray after this is because the average person, myself included, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we go with an agenda. We go to the Lord in prayer asking him for something. That's what we do. That's just what we've grown accustomed to. When we go to the Lord in prayer, we're not going with anything else other than, God, I have this need in my life. I need you to meet it. God, there's a situation in my life. I need you to rectify it. And we go to the Lord and say, God, I need you to do this. I want you to do this. Give me, give me, give me, give me. And that's how we treat the Lord in our prayer life. So why does Jesus, after the miracle is done, after the Father needs to work some grand, amazing thing, why is it after this that Jesus goes to the Lord in prayer? Because you'll notice that when Jesus goes to the Father, most of the time, he's not going asking for something. He's going for one reason. It's the relationship. He's going for the connection. It's been asked, the question has been asked, did Jesus need to pray? Did Jesus need to pray? Because we know, Scripture's very clear, Jesus is God. He is fully divine. So if Jesus, being God, being fully divine, did he really need to pray? Because isn't that kind of like talking to yourself at that point? And there's this great long debate. There's been people talking about this and theorizing about this for literally centuries. But rather than go through all of those centuries of theological discussion, I'll skip ahead to the correct answer. Jonathan would agree with me, so you know, you can ask him later. Did Jesus need to pray? The answer is unequivocally yes. He needed to pray. And it wasn't that he needed to pray just because he needed to show us or give us an example to follow in prayer. Yes, he was doing that, but that was not the only reason he needed to do it. Jesus needed to pray because remember, he's not just God, he's also man. And see, it's difficult for us sometimes to remember this. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around this. Jesus is 100%, he is God. But 100%, he is man. It's not even a 50-50. He is fully God, he is fully man. In his humanity, Jesus needed to pray. Because Jesus needed that connection. He needed to go back to the Father. He needed to rejuvenate himself. He needed to rejuvenate his spirit. He needed to reconnect with the Father in fellowship and in relationship. In his humanity, he needed to do that. And that's why we see Jesus so often in the Gospels returning to the Father in prayer. If you read the account of the reading of the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John, John gives us a little bit more detail than Matthew does. See, what happens after the feeding of the 5,000 is this great crowd of people, they're determined, we're going to make Jesus king. Don't really care if he wants to do it or not. He's going to be king. Because at the time that Jesus came, there was a very common idea held amongst a lot of Israelites. And it was that when the Messiah comes, he's going to free us from Roman oppression. That was the belief. That was what a lot of people believed. One of Jesus' own disciples was a part of that. James the Zealot. He was a part of that movement, that idea that when the Messiah comes, he's going to lead us into battle. He's going to give us a great victory against our enemies. And that was a very common belief out in the Judean wilderness where Jesus was when he was preaching and performed this miracle. So when he performs this miracle, a lot of these people are looking for the Messiah already. They're waiting for the person who's going to come and lead them to victory. So when they see Jesus do this amazing miracle, their thought is, there he is. That's our king. That's the guy that's going to lead us to victory. And so what do? They surround Jesus with the intention of making him king and forcing him to lead them to victory. Now, in his divinity, that was not going to happen because that wasn't the plan. That's not why Jesus came. In his humanity, after going through all this entire ordeal of preaching and teaching for the entire day, performing this great, wonderful miracle, having to deal with the aftermath of people trying to force him into a position that he wasn't there to fulfill, Jesus needed to retreat. He needed to get away. He needed to be alone. He needed to be with the Father. And he's with the Father for hours. He spends the evening alone in prayer. Because the second person of the Trinity, the Son, depended upon the Father. He depended upon the Father for his ministry. He depended upon the Father for his spiritual well-being. And so he sought the Father constantly. He desired to be in fellowship. He desired to be in communication. He desired to be in constant relationship with the Father. Now, here's my question for us, church, because we're supposed to be followers of Christ. Now, if we, as followers of Christ, are meant to be following in Jesus' footsteps, living as Jesus lived, doing as Jesus would do, living as Jesus would live, if we're meant to be doing that, how do we possibly think that we can succeed in following Christ if we're not willing to pray like Christ? Because even Jesus needed to get away and spend time with the Father in prayer. And yet, so often, what do? We forget to pray. We put off praying. We throw up a couple of lines to God in prayer just to be able to check it off of the list and say, well, yeah, I prayed today. That's not a relationship with the Lord. So why do we pray? We pray because we must be in fellowship with the Lord. It goes back to exactly what Jesus was saying in John 15. What did he say? He said, abide in me, and I abide in you. We're not abiding in the Lord if we spend 5 minutes a week in prayer. That's not abiding. That's ignoring. That's writing a Christmas wish list and then throwing it at God and saying, here, get me this. That's not relationship. And that's what we're supposed to be seeking. See, again, all of this is connected. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, what did he say? You have to love me. You have to love me above anything else. And if we love the Lord more than anything else, if that's true, if that's real, then we would desire to be with him more than anything else. We would be looking for every opportunity to spend it in prayer, to spend it in fellowship with our Father. Why? That's exactly what Jesus did. In his humanity, that's what Jesus needed to do. Why do we think that we can do better on our own when Jesus gives us the example that we should be following? So why should we pray? We pray because we have to be in fellowship. We have to be abiding in the Lord. Second thing, look at Mark 1:35. Go ahead and flip over to Mark 1:35 for me real quick. And it says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So if we're supposed to pray, why do we pray? We pray because we want to be in fellowship. We want to have a strong relationship with the Lord. So when should we pray? Well, there it is. We have to rise up very early in the morning while it's still dark out and pray. So you're laughing because you think I'm kidding. You're laughing because you're hoping I'm kidding. Okay, on the one hand, yes, I'm kidding. On the other hand, I'm not kidding. Because, again, context is key. What is happening in this passage? Jesus rises up very, very early in the morning. It is still dark out when he rises up early in the morning. The alarm clock in that day was the sun. You got up when the sun came up and you began your day. So Jesus gets up extra early while it's still night out just to go off by himself again and pray. Well, what happened before all of this? Jesus spent the entire day doing ministry. There should be a little header in the passage before this. It says, Jesus heals many. Jesus went to the synagogues. He went throughout the town, and he preached. He healed people of sickness. He cast demons out of people. That was what he did for the entire day. He does that all day. And I can promise you that after doing all of that, he was probably pretty tired. So he goes to sleep. But then he wakes up extra early. And why does he wake up extra early to go and pray. Because look at what he does after that. That's what he did the day before. Now we're on a new day. And what he's going to do, verse 36, Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So Jesus, after having spent an entire day in ministry, an entire day doing exactly what the Father had called him and put him there to do, he's prepared to do it again the next day. But before he does it the next day, he gets up early for the sole purpose of spending time in prayer. Why? Because Jesus understood, just as we need to understand, his ministry was dependent upon the blessing of the Father. Jesus was not going to go into ministry. He was not going to go into battle without first spending time with the Father. Before Jesus did anything, before he started his day, before he went out and began to do ministry, before he preached, before he cast out demons, before he did all of these great, wonderful, incredible works and miracles, before he does any of that, what does he do? He spends time in prayer with the Father. Because his ministry is dependent upon the Father. Go back to what Jesus said in John 15. He said, abide in me, and I'll abide in you. And what else did he say? He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a heavy statement, church. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing of eternal significance. Nothing of eternal value. We cannot do anything of eternal significance or value on our own. It is impossible. The only good works that flow from us, they flow from us as we are, what? Abiding in Christ, as we are attached to the vine of Jesus. That's the only way that anything good can ever be produced in our life. And yet, how many of us go through each and every day? We go and do our work. We go and spend time with our families. We go and do ministry. We go and serve at the church. We go and do all of these things, but we do them without what? Without ever really spending any time in prayer at all. Because the truth is, we don't actually believe that we're dependent upon the Lord. If we really believed that we were dependent upon the Lord, then it would be reflected in our prayer life. We wouldn't look to do anything before we were able to spend time with him in prayer. We wouldn't go out and try to serve him. We wouldn't go out and try to do this or that. We wouldn't go out and live our lives without first spending time in prayer with him, because apart from him, we can do nothing. If we believe that, it would be reflected in our prayer life. And we say, well, I just get so busy. I get so busy. I've got so many things going on in my life. I don't have time to really spend a lot of time in prayer every day. And the truth is, I completely understand that reasoning. I do. I'm busy too. We're all busy. We all have things that are going on. But that's why we come back to, do I really desire my relationship with the Lord? Because if I really desire my relationship with the Lord, then I've got time for my relationship with the Lord. Why does Jesus get up so early? It's still dark out. Why does he bother getting up so early? Jesus was busy. He had a lot going on, and he had a very limited time in which to do it. See, Jesus actually knew that he was going to be going to the cross, And he knew when that was going to happen. He had 3 years. He had 3 years in which to do everything that he was meant to do. 3 years of ministry. And he had a lot to do in those 3 years. He had a lot to teach. He had a lot to show. He had a lot of miracles to perform. He had a lot of preparation work to do for the disciples because, you know, they needed it. But Jesus did not attempt to do any of it. He did not set out one foot to begin any of it without first spending time with the Father. That's why he gets up so early, because he is busy. He does have a lot to do. But no matter how busy the schedule, no matter how much is going on, we should never be so busy that we don't have time to spend with the Father. You can look at it this way. I've got a wife and two kids. I'm not going to be too busy to spend time with them. It doesn't really matter how much stuff I have going on in a day. It doesn't matter if I need to go out and do this or run home and do that. It doesn't really matter what I have going on. I'm always going to find time to spend with my wife and my kids. Why? Because I love them. The day that I'm too busy to spend with my family, I'm too busy. And there are things in our lives that all of us have. There's something in our life that all of us would say, if I'm too busy to do this, then I'm too busy and I've got to cut back and I've got to figure out a way to be able to do this still. Maybe it's spending time with our family. Maybe it's a hobby that we have. Whatever the case may be, if we're too busy to do that, then we know that we're too busy. But the truth is, if we're too busy to spend consistent, persistent time in prayer with the Father, we are too busy. Because there should never, ever be too little time to spend with the Lord. Because we're supposed to understand that our life, everything that we do, everything that we are, is dependent upon Him. So why would we ever consider, ever entertain the thought of trying to live life without staying in Him? So that's why should we pray? When should we pray? And then finally, we have to ask the question, how should we pray? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. You probably know this verse. It's a very short verse. Pray without ceasing. The shortest verse in the New Testament. Yes, it is shorter than Jesus wept. The original language, Jesus wept, two words. Pray without ceasing, one word. One word that perfectly encapsulates how we are meant to pray. Pray without ceasing. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, because it's what everybody thinks when they read this verse, when they hear this verse. That's not possible. That is physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all of the illies, it's impossible. That can't be done. And I know it can't be done, because not even Jesus did that. Jesus did not spend his entire life just in prayer. He did other things. He preached, he spoke, he taught, he performed miracles. The Apostle Paul did not do nothing but pray his entire life. He preached, he planted churches, he led people to Christ, he did all these great and wonderful, amazing things. So how are we supposed to do that? Well, I want to make a clarification here, because pray without ceasing does not mean pray without interruption. What Paul is talking about, he's talking about an attitude, an understanding, a faithfulness of living life in prayer. Of understanding that we are constantly, as believers, as followers of Christ, we are always in the presence of the Lord. And we should always be in relationship with Him. That's the meaning that he's getting across here, is always be in fellowship, always be in relationship with the Lord, because he is always with you. If you're a follower of Christ, there is absolutely nothing that you can do, there is nowhere that you can go that you will ever be truly alone, because the Lord is always with you. The Holy Spirit literally lives within you. You can't go anywhere to get away from him. You can't do anything to hide him, to hide yourself. Always be in relationship, in fellowship, in connection with the Lord. Think about that for a minute. If you are a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He is always with you. Nowhere that you go, nothing that you do, are you ever alone, because he is there with you in all of it. Now think about having somebody by your side day in, day out, 24/7, and you don't ever talk to them. When I was in college, one of the last things that I had to do to finish up my degree was I had to do my internship. And so in preparing for my internship, I went ahead and I spoke to several of my friends that I was going through school with that they had done their internship the summer before. So I was talking to them and getting some feedback, some things that I should be looking for, some things that I should try to find wherever I did my internship. And I got a lot of feedback from people. One guy, he had a fantastic experience in his internship because he got to do like everything. He performed a wedding. He conducted a funeral. He got to preach. He got to plan. He worked with every single ministry that was at the church in some capacity. So he was exposed to absolutely every part of church ministry. And then I spoke to another person, and this person shadowed the pastor 24/7. Anywhere the pastor went, anything the pastor did, he was there to do it with him. So if the pastor was preaching on Sunday morning, he was sitting in a chair on the stage over on the side, which I never really understood like why people do that. That's just awkward to me, to just have to like sit over on the side while the pastor's preaching. That's just me. I don't know. I just think that's awkward. But that was what he had to do. If the pastor was studying in his office, then he was right there in the office watching the pastor study. And yes, that is as boring as it sounds, because all it is just sitting there and reading. That's all it is. If the pastor went to the hospital, then he went to the hospital. So I was like, well, wow. So like you were shadowing him constantly, so you must have learned a lot. And he said, no, I didn't learn anything. I said, how did you not learn anything? He said, well, the only time the guy ever spoke to me was when he was telling me to do something. Outside of that, we never talked. We never fellowshipped. We never got to know each other in any way. It was just, I was there, and if he needed me to do something, I went and did it. Now, imagine for a moment, because that is exactly how we treat the Lord. He's with us at all times. And yet, for most of us, about the only time that we ever speak to him is when we want him to do something for us. We go about our life doing whatever we want, however we want to do it. And if something comes up, we turn around and say, God, can you take care of that? Great. And then we continue on. Church, that's not a relationship. That's an employer-employee relationship, and not even a good one at that. See, prayer is not the gift that it is, because it means that we can just tell God to do whatever we want and he'll handle it for us. Now, I don't want to make a misunderstanding here. I'm not saying that we should never bring our request to the Lord. Absolutely, we should. Scripture is clear. Make your request known before the Lord. We should make our request known before the Lord. The problem is so many of us relegate prayer to only request. The only thing we ever pray about is what we want God to do for me. That's not a relationship. That's not fellowship. That's not what prayer is meant to be. That's not why we have it. Prayer is the gift that it is because, yes, it means that we can go before the throne. We can go at any time, for any purpose, for as long as we want. And we have the Son who is our mediator. He's right there on our behalf. And yet we don't take advantage of it. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't truly appreciate what prayer is meant to be. We don't appreciate that prayer is meant to be that conduit of fellowship and relationship to the Lord. We don't appreciate that prayer is meant to be our dependence upon God for life. And maybe it's because we just don't know it. Maybe it's because we just don't care. But here's the truth of it, church. If we are going to be true followers of Christ, then we have to be people of prayer. And that's going to look different for everyone. Because as I said earlier, there is no passage or scripture that you can go to and it says, well, this is the amount of time you need to spend in prayer and then you're good to go. Because honestly, that's silly. Because it's not about how much time we spend in prayer. It's about how much effort we put into prayer. How deeply do we want to get to know the Lord? How intimate do we want to be with the Father? Because that is going to correlate with our prayer life. If we want to have a shallow, superficial relationship with the Lord, then pray for 5 minutes a week, and that's exactly what you'll have. But if we want to know Him, if we want that deep, personal, intimate relationship with the Father, then we have to depend on Him. We have to be seeking Him. We have to desire Him. If we seek Him, we'll find Him. If we want Him, He'll give Himself to us. God has never withheld Himself from anyone. But we have turned our back on Him because we weren't willing to put forth the time and the energy into the relationship. So here's my challenge this morning, church. I don't know where all of us are in our prayer lives. I don't know how often you spend in prayer. I don't know the frequency with which you pray. I don't know what you pray about. I have no idea. But what I want us to think about this morning is not how much time do I spend in prayer? Am I spending enough time in prayer? Am I praying enough about this or about that? What I want us to think about this morning is this. Am I satisfied with my relationship with the Lord? Or do I want to know Him more? Do I want to be closer to the Lord? Or do I want to stay where I am? Because the first step for followers of Christ to truly get closer to Him, to truly know Him even better, it begins on our knees. So that's what I want to invite us to do today. Whoever you are, whatever your prayer life looks like, this is an opportunity for us. Don't continue to just coast through your relationship with the Lord. Don't just do the bare minimum. Because our relationship with Him is far too important to just try and do the bare minimum. Don't be lazy in your approach to the Lord. Actually seek him. Because if you actually seek him, if you actually desire him, he is there. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to open up all of who we are to him. Because he's already opened up who he is to us. So this morning, whoever you are, wherever you are, whether you're here, whether you're watching online, whatever the case may be, let us all go before the throne and actually seek to know and to love our Father in heaven. Let him speak to us as we speak to him. Let him bring us into his embrace. Let him know us. Don't hide from him. Don't hide who you are. Don't hide what you're going through. Don't hide anything about yourself. Lay it all out there. Cast your fears, cast your worries, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Don't hold on to it. Give it to the Lord. And continue daily to seek him, to know him in prayer. Because as Jesus shows us, we are completely dependent upon him. Our life, our ministry, our family, everything about us, it's dependent upon the Lord. So let us stop trying to live as if we don't need him. We can humbly bend the knee together and recognize that we need our Father for absolutely everything. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the relationship that you offer us. Father, my only prayer this morning is that as your people, that we would take advantage of what it is that you give. That we would truly seek to know you, to love you, to be connected to you. May we not put it off. May we not treat it as something that is a chore. May we not treat it as something that we have to do. But Lord, may we recognize that it's a gift. It's the gift of being able to know you. It's the gift of being in relationship, of being in fellowship with you. So Lord, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Show us where we're weak. Convict us, mold us, shape us. Lord, bring us into deeper relationship with you. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.